listening to Bondi Tunes International, and a big hello to our listeners to Valley FM 89.5 in Canberra, the capital city of Australia, and World FM 88.2 in Tawa, near Wellington, New Zealand, across the ditch. That happens to be a capital city as well. I didn't plan that. That's just the way it is. And a big shout out to... Oh, did I say shout out? Oh, no! To our dedicated listeners across Europe and North America. I'm Henry in Sydney. Adam Devlin is our Australian political correspondent. He joins me from Brisbane, from the city of Brisbane in the state of Queensland. And what a state Queensland is in. And Melissa Green, our other correspondent in Melbourne, Victoria. Welcome to the show. After that, I'm really exhausted after that big intro. Can I go to bed now?
Henry, am I able to correct something?
Yes, please.
I thought Wellington was the capital of New Zealand. Am I wrong?
Yes, Tawa near Wellington, I do believe, is what I said in the intro. Wellington is the capital, but they broadcast from Tawa, which broadcasts into Wellington.
Right, I thought you said Auckland. Maybe I've had a long day as well.
Oh, maybe I did. If I did. Oh, my God. Okay, they're in Wellington. I'm not doing that intro again. Anyway... Oh dear.
Maybe I'm going mad.
No, it's clearly me who's going insane. Now, I want to talk first about my pet hate at the moment. Anyway, the two what I call juggernaut monster supermarket chains in Australia, Coles and Woolworths. And to you first, Adam, because actually I want to quote Sky News Australia, if I may. Supermarkets, as we once knew them, are quietly disappearing from inner city suburbs, springing up. In their place are boutique, metro or local iterations, a version of Woolworths or Coles grocery store that, depending on where you could, where you live, could mean smaller than the traditional supermarket, stocks a bespoke range of local products, hosts a sushi bar, artisan bakery, or all of the above. Adam, your suburb in Brisbane, this has happened to you.
Yes, we had an old Coles store here in next suburb to me, Kupuru, and it was one of the old traditional Coles supermarkets. It had a deli section, it had a fruit and veggie section, it had a butchery section. You know, you could go up to the deli section and you could say, I'll have, you know, a scoop of those olives and I'll have three slices of that ham and I'll have one of those things over there, and they'd pick it all up out for you. And then it closed for a number of months whilst they renovated it. And it's recently reopened and the butchery has gone, but not that that bothers me, I'm a vegetarian, but the butchery has gone. The deli has gone, so you can no longer go up and say, I just want six slices of Devon, thanks. Or, you know, I just want a small container of coleslaw. But you can't do that anymore in this one. It's all pre-packaged. The fruit and veggie section is half the size it used to be, and it's all what they call gourmet now, which, of course, just means that smaller servings at a higher price.
Yes, of course.
And... you know, it's got it doesn't have a bakery in the shop, but they truck in freshly baked goods from a well-known bakery here in Brisbane each day, where you're paying, like, I almost fell over. The other day I went and I got four pastries. We were having some guests over for morning tea here, and so I just went up to the local Coles and I thought I'll just grab four pastries. They were $7.50 each. So, like, I got a stuffed donut, like a filled donut, I got a chocolate croissant, I got a tart of some sort, and I got some other, like, savoury treat thing that was $7.50 each. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And you can no longer go and buy just what you want. You have to buy these pre-packaged size of things. Yeah. And so... there's only two of us that live here, and we're vegetarian. So
I was going to ask you about the vegetarian thing, actually.
I mean, the one positive thing is that they now have two sections. There's a freeze section and a fridge section that is dedicated to vegan and vegetarianism.
Oh, okay.
So that's a plus, which I applaud them for. But everything else, it's just been a huge step backwards. And they've put this section in at the front now. Like, the space that they save from having a deli, having a butcher install, and having a larger fruit and veggie section, the area they're saved from that is now full of all of these pre-prepared foods, single serve. So you can go in and just pick up, you know, a butter chicken and rice. You go home and throw in the microwave.
Who's buying those? Honestly,
I know. I don't understand.
And they just die a slow, painful death, staring out at you from their plastic, going, "Pick me," and no one does.
Yeah, Melissa, you are interested in food, very much so. And I'm wondering if this has happened to you in Melbourne yet, because I think you live in the city of Melbourne. Have you noticed any change? Is this thing going across the board in Australia?
Yes. So a couple of things I want to touch on. When they said that the Sky News report said they were doing bespoke supermarkets that catered to the needs of the areas that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Before Metro and Coles Express or whatever, what's the Coles version called? Sorry.
I don't know.
Anyway, right? Yours is the Coles that you were just describing. Is that right, Adam? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
they call it a local Coles is what they call it.
Okay, yeah. So you've got local Coles, which is an upmarket, fancier Coles, and then you've got Woolworths Metro, which is an upmarket, fancier Woolworths. However, previous to the metros and the locals coming out, Coles in certain and Woolworths in certain suburbs were already bespoke. Now, if I think when I first moved to Melbourne, I lived in a suburb called Balaclava, which is...
I love that name.
Balaclava, I know, right?
Just see robberies.
Yeah, they should have called it Yamaka because it's full of Hasidic Jews.
Okay.
Right?
just like Bondi Beach.
But you see a lot of yarmulkes around the streets and no traffic on a Friday. Mm. And so when I was living there and I went to the local Woolworths, it had a lot of kosher and Jewish meals, like the bread, the leavened bread that they eat. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to a suburb called Fawkner in Melbourne that has a large Turkish population, then I see Turkish products like Turkish sausages that are made with beef and not pork, and I see Turkish olives and things like that. So, and then you go to an Asian area, and they'll have a lot of Asian goods that regular Woolworths don't.
Are you talking about these chains supplying this or local shops?
No, the chains. So the chains were already doing bespoke products in their supermarkets in order to have items that were suitable to the demographic of the suburbs they were located in.
Sure.
So if they're trying to say that they're using the Metro and the local Coles to create bespoke supermarkets, well, I'm calling BS on that because they've been doing it for at least 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So
they've been doing it ever since they've had supermarkets. I mean, they've always catered their supermarkets to the local environment that the supermarket is in. This boutique stuff they're doing now, it's nothing more than a cynical grab for money, because I know that in my local Coles, which has just recently reopened after one of these refurbs, the price in everything has increased significantly, more so than just in a normal Coles. And it's not just the price of goods and the inflation and all that. That's not it. It's more than that these things have increased by. And what they've also done in my local one is the lower cost items or the generic items, there's less of those now and much more of your high-end label items, which are much more expensive than the standard of these items. Like there's a pack of pasta on the shelf in my local Coles supermarket, which is $7 for a packet of pasta, dried pasta, $7.
As I'm a sales rep, I travel around to different suburbs every day. So I could be in Craigieburn, which is one side of Victoria, and the next day I could be Dandenong, I could go to Kew, I could go to all these places. So I have the luxury of choosing where I shop because I go to various areas and I see what they've done. Now, with the metros, which is the Woolworths equivalent, they started off as these, you know, convenience stores in the city of Melbourne that, you know, a commuter would go to on the way home to grab a few things before getting on public transport. But now those metros are going a bit further out. Now, I'm thinking about my Woolworths, but my Woolworths is still a Woolworths. It's not a metro. But I have been to some of the Coles that Adam is describing, and I'll give you an example. They have done this in a suburb called Kew, which is quite affluent. Mm. And they've done it in Toorak and Windsor, so places that are a little bit more middle class. And the produce is more upmarket. The meat is all higher cuts of meat. Everything inside is more expensive. Now, maybe local Coles thinks that they can afford to do it in those suburbs. I'm not sure, but it reminds me of a story of Double Bay, which, of course, is a very expensive suburb in Sydney. Mm-hmm. And
just
previously,
up the road from Bondi.
Yes, exactly. Years and years ago, before the year 2000, Woolworths at Double Bay was having a terrible time getting people to shop inside. And it was because local residents were too embarrassed to be seen in there. And so what they did is that they covered the windows with Woolworths branding. So if you were walking past the street, you wouldn't look in and see your neighbour there. But if you happened to be both inside and look at each other, well, it didn't matter because you saw each other in there. I didn't see you from the street, right?
And also you couldn't blackmail each other because you're both in there.
Exactly.
Who are these people?
So I kind of feel like, is Coles Local just tapping into the snobbery of people with the produce and the amount of produce and the upmarketness of the stuff that they're selling is so different to your regular Coles and your regular Woolworths.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Micro stores, yes.
Well, I saw some truffle cheese and it was probably $90 a kilo and they'd cut a wedge out for $20 and here's me, oh, that's been reduced to $5. I'll buy that for $5. I won't pay the $20 for it, but I was amazed. And like the chicken sausages, you know how you get your regular sausages for the barbecue?
Mm-hmm.
No. These were like fancy chicken, sage and feta cheese sausages that were $15. And I bought them for $5 because clearly, they were reduced because no one's paying the money.
And clearly you weren't brought up on that. Adam, you wanted to say something?
No, I was just going to say that's exactly correct. Like in my local Coles here in Cooperoo, I mean, I'm in Northern Park, but Cooperoo is the next suburb. There was so much stuff today, gourmet stuff, like high-end stuff that was very expensive that had been reduced significantly. Because it only had 1 or 2 days expiry date on it. Because in our suburb, we're in a city. Yes, we're in a city, but we're not affluent. Mm. And so people go to Coles because Coles are supposedly a cheap supermarket. What they've done here in my supermarket is they've alienated their main customer base. Those customers are now going next door to Woolworths, which is the proper Woolworths, not a Metro one. Mm. And so all of a sudden, a lot of Coles customers who want your standard stocks grocery items, they've now gone to Woolworths across the road because Coles are now focusing on this high-end gourmet stuff.
Oh,
it makes no sense. I mean, I'm not anti the gourmet stuff. I, by all means, have that in there. But don't replace the stock standard stuff that your everyday families buy.
Yes.
With it, like,
can I
have
both. Yes,
can I say I find that really interesting because when I worked for Wesfarmers, Coles was part of the Wesfarmers group. And it started off as Coles Myer and then Wesfarmers bought it. They got rid of the Myer part and then they got rid of the Coles. But when Wesfarmers owned Coles, whilst Coles turned over a large profit, it also cost them a lot to earn that profit. In terms of paying for advertising and market share and real estate and things like that. So Coles has new management, which may be the decision, like maybe the reasons why they've gone that path. But I don't like to shop at Coles. You don't tend to get a reduced sticker at Coles like you do at Woolworths.
you sound like a typical shopper.
Me, I will tell you the best, like, Woolworths to get the reduced ticket. Sadly, something's happened to my Woolworths, and, you know, if it's only going to have $3 off, no. I want my 50% before I'm going to buy it. But yeah. I go to this store in Melbourne. They've got three locations, and it's called Cheaper by Miles. And yep. their slogan is reduce the war on waste. So they get a lot of food that hasn't sold in the big supermarkets or in the independent chains, and then they sell it when it's close to its use by date. Or, you know, maybe there's something wrong with the packaging, or there's excess, right? And I'm telling you, like, the bargains I get in this store are huge. And I do a lot of my shopping there now. If you're a vegan or a vegetarian, it's brilliant, because they've always got vegan and vegetarian stuff on discount that no one's brought.
Yeah.
But, you know, they'll have often brie or camembert cheese, and they're selling, you know, the 250-gram wheels for $3 or $4.
Can I just butt in here? you know, my
girlfriend... I didn't think it was your show.
my girlfriend Caroline, she does all the shopping, and we live in a plush suburb, I guess, Bondi, and she goes to Rose Bay, and of course, Melissa, you'll be aware, Double Bay and Rose Bay are, you know, very wealthy areas, yes. And she gets
as we used to say back in the day, it wasn't Double Bay, it was Double Pay.
That's right, and I won't say what they called Rose Bay, because that would not be arable.
Yeah. Or Bellevue Hill.
Yes. Anyway, back to the point. I, you know, Caroline does all the shopping because I'm a man and I'm useless, and she wouldn't trust me to get the bargains. But to your point, Melissa Grima, she does look for the use-by dates, and that's really important. And so she gets the deals. She's pretty good at this. I just want to mention, if you're listening in Europe, particularly in Britain, Sainsbury's, Marks and Sparks, Lidl, Tesco, Waitrose, are they doing the same thing? If you have just joined us, this is Bondi Tunes International in Sydney, Australia. That's me in Sydney, Australia. Adam Devlin is in Brisbane and Melissa Grima is in Melbourne. I need to switch subjects. Taylor Swift has just arrived on her big aeroplane. Melissa's got a lot to say about that. Starting her tour in Australia, and she's arrived in Sydney tonight.
Melbourne.
Has she arrived in Melbourne?
She flew into Melbourne.
Oh, here's me thinking she would go to Sydney first. Anyway, Melissa, you mentioned carbon footprints.
Oh, so I've had two people that I know, and I've seen it in the media, that apparently Taylor Swift is a person that cares for the environment and cares about climate change, and they're saying that she's the celebrity with the biggest carbon footprint because she tours around on a private jet. And I'm not a big Taylor Swift music fan. I don't get the hype around her. I can appreciate her as a female that's done amazing things in the music industry, and hopefully she leads the way for other women that come behind her. But this thing with her carbon footprint in a private jet, can we take a reality check, please, people?
Oh, I'm just getting Greta Thunberg in my head. Get Greta out of my head.
She is the biggest star in the world.
Yes, by
How
a long
do you
shot.
Expect her to travel around if it's not on a private jet. Of you course. Cannot expect a woman of her fame to be going on a commercial flight. A, it's not fair to everybody. You know, the travel industry is still bouncing back from COVID. Yeah. We don't have all the planes that we need. And so typically, because there's less flights than there was previously, there's not as many seats for bums to get on. Mm. So would you like to take those away from paying customers so Taylor can go to work?
No, she's on, absolutely she's, not.
What's and then, sorry.
Can I just say, knowing what I know of Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you're a fan, actually, Adam.
Look, I am a fan. I like her music. I like her as a person. I think she's, a very grounded young woman to be in the situation that she's in. She's handling fame incredibly well.
Yes.
Agreed.
She's pretty much scandal free. She's, you know, the biggest scandal about her has been her somewhat tumultuous love life, which really has nothing to do with any of us.
And now she's with a footy. She's
except
with some
that
footy
she does
dude.
Sing about it, Adam. So that
she
makes
does,
it
absolutely. So it, you know, it contributes to her output of music, and you know, we appreciate that. But knowing her. As you know, obviously I don't know her, I've never met the woman, but knowing her persona as well as I do, I would be surprised if she's not offsetting those flights.
And that was my point as well, as if she would be doing something.
Yeah, and exactly. She's hardly just saying, you know, put me on a private jet and fly me to Australia and screw the environment. I can't imagine her doing that. I don't know for certain, but I would be stunned if she's not doing something to offset the carbon outputs of her flying around the world on this tour.
But also, she's not on that plane on her own.
No. And it's the whole
she's got bodyguards and all that stuff, yeah.
And, you know, the MAGA.
It's the musicians, it's the choreographers, exactly. It's everyone. Like,
And the MAGA fans out there, they wish to do her harm. People don't like her. Mm. So, you know, are we responsible for her security going through our airports? Which, let's face it, aren't that big.
Can I ask you guys, is it okay for a singer to affect a federal election in the world's most powerful country? Is that okay?
Let me answer that in a couple of ways. First of all, she is an American citizen who votes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a country who holds the freedom of speech incredibly important. As
they
right.
take it very much seriously, don't
they? Yeah. So she has every right to endorse or not endorse whoever she wishes, as does every other American citizen.
Okay.
The fact that she is the world's biggest pop star at the moment and that she has literally hundreds of millions of fans around the world doesn't negate that right. Doesn't negate her ability to do that.
No.
Now, I also want to say that, you know, the MAGA lunatics in America are going, you know, they're frothing at the mouth about Taylor Swift.
They must be in a real kind of juxtaposition of what they...
She has not yet endorsed either side in this election.
I don't think she needs to have
come out and said who she's supporting.
Last election, she encouraged people to enroll to vote.
Yeah.
She and I don't think she told them who to vote for. She just said, get out and vote and have a voice.
Just before the polling, just before the election, at the last election, she did come out and say she was supporting Biden. And she tweeted out some photos of her. She made some cookies and she decorated them in Biden memorabilia, like like blue and red, white and blue with Biden over them and all that, with 20 on it. So she did, in the last election, just before voting, she did come out and say, I'm supporting Biden. She hasn't done that yet here, and she doesn't need to. It's irrelevant. But the MAGA, the Trump MAGA people, absolutely are ripping her to shreds at the moment.
Are they?
For one reason. Absolutely. Yep. She is worse than Biden. She's worse than Obama. She's worse than...
She's got more of a say. I mean, she's got this massive following in America, everywhere, really.
And it's all because in one concert just recently, in the last couple of weeks, she did a concert, I temporarily missed my mind where it was, but it was in America. And she went on stage and she said, if you are not enrolled to vote, please enroll to vote.
Which is important, and I just to interrupt you for a second, because our listeners in Australia and New Zealand, you don't have to vote. It's compulsory in Australia, but it's not in America. So her asking people to vote is a big deal.
Absolutely. And 30,000 young people went out and registered to vote the next day.
Really?
That's what scares Trump, the MAGA movement, and the Republican Party in America. Because
and did you also hear about
those people? Because those people who are registering to vote aren't going to turn up and vote for Trump.
Yes.
So that's why they don't like her. It's not because they don't like her politics. It's not because they don't like her music or who she is as a person. It's because she's encouraging people to vote who aren't going to vote for the Republican Party.
Okay. Let me ask you, Melissa, are you a fan?
I'm a fan of the example that she sets. I'm not a fan of her music. I like the fact that this, you know, I don't even know where she's from. I don't know anything much really about her. But I like that this woman who's, let's face it, she's a very attractive girl. She's not stunning. She's not drop-dead gorgeous. You wouldn't think she was a model. But, you know, here's this ordinary girl who's made money off her talent and she's done it very wisely. She re-recorded all of her music so she could take ownership of it and not give any money to the music companies. That's smart.
That's quite admirable.
Men in corporate positions don't like smart women. And so she owns all of her music because she re-recorded every single song. And then with that money that she's got, she's actually giving back to a lot of worthy causes. And secondly, she's got this, you know, gridiron football player of a boyfriend. And because she was at the game, people lost their minds, right?
I know. It was the Super Bowl, yeah.
Only 54 seconds of airtime. Adam, do you know how long a Super Bowl game goes for?
Yeah, of course he does.
6 hours or something.
Feels like five, but whatever. She had 54 seconds worth of screen time throughout that whole game. All these men lost their minds. These MAGAs refused to watch the Super Bowl. Guess what?
What?
The Super Bowl had the largest amount of people watching since the 60s, I think. And apparently it was the largest turnout of people to watch a television show since the moon landing. Am I quoting that correctly?
Oh, you probably
are. Read similar things.
I wouldn't be surprised. I just want to bring Madonna into this because, you know, Madonna sang in the 1980s Like a Virgin, and that was, you know, a lot of people thought, yeah, that's kind of questionable in our society. Madonna was pushing the buttons back in the 1980s. Can we compare this lady to Madonna in any way? Because she is certainly pushing the buttons in the year 2024.
I'm sorry, Henry. When you just said Henry, I want to bring in Madonna now. I thought you had Madonna on the phone.
No, she wanted to come on, but I refused. I'm too busy.
I'm going to say this. Mm-hmm. Madonna really pushed the envelope in terms of selling sex to sell herself, and Taylor Swift's not selling sex.
No, but you got to remember there were different times, okay? The 80s is 40 years ago, and things
people
have changed.
People are still selling sex today.
Of course they are.
But if,
I think she's more of a latter-day Olivia Newton-John than a Madonna. You know, she has that wholesome image. She's done some movies that, let's be frank, she's a better singer than actor.
I didn't know she did movies.
Check out the last production of Cats.
No, thanks.
No, you really need to because it's so bad.
I did hear something about that.
Yeah, it's appalling. But, you know, she's between 75 and 80, 1975 and 1985, Olivia Newton-John was the biggest pop star in the world. Mm. She, you know, in the middle of that, she had Grease, then she had Xanadu and Physical. You know, she was everywhere. That is what Taylor Swift is going through at the moment. And personality-wise, they're very similar.
Yes, I have to say that Madonna doesn't take any crap from anyone. I've seen her in interviews. I actually have a lot of time for Madonna. She is bullshit-free. It's not because she's a big star. It's because she's just that. She's herself.
That's who she is, yeah. She's abrasive and she's... Now, Taylor's not. Taylor is very... conservative.
She's more gentle,
in nature.
I think. Yes.
Yeah, she's more focused on the good than the bad, if that makes sense. And you know, she's just, if you look at the other biggest pop star on the planet at the moment, well, there's two of them. It'd either be Miley Cyrus or Beyonce.
Isn't Miley so yesterday?
Oh no, she's
okay.
She was yesterday, but she's also tomorrow.
you sure that she's still relevant, Miley Cyrus? I thought she disappeared.
Same here.
Flowers, which was her big single from last year, was the biggest selling single in America and in most markets in the world.
I guess that answers the question.
Miley Cyrus is almost as big as Beyonce and Taylor Swift is. We don't get that much of her in Australia. She doesn't get much publicity in Australia. Yeah. But trust
despite
me,
despite having a Vegemite tattoo on her arm.
Yeah.
Does she?
she dated a Hemsworth. They were engaged. And as homage
to
her
actor?
Boyfriend.
Who's he?
Yes.
Who's David Hemsworth? He's an actor.
No, there's Chris and Liam.
Yeah, she was married to Liam.
Engaged. Also, were they married?
No, they were married. Yes, they were married.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, she's got a jar of Vegemite tattooed on her arm.
So the marriage is over, but the tattoo stays forever.
Yes.
Oh, you can get her
stepmother is Australian. Billy Ray Cyrus has recently married an Australian.
Oh, okay. Gosh, keep it in the family. right. So
but what I'm saying is Taylor Swift. She is a massive cultural phenomenon at the moment.
She earned $2 billion last year. $2 billion.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, she runs her empire herself. Mm. So this woman, while she has difficulty, it must be said, to keep a man in her life or a partner in her life, she's got a long list of ex-lovers. Completely in control of her existence.
I want to talk to you in a year's time about this, Adam. And by the way, if you've just joined us, I'm talking with Adam Devlin in Brisbane and Melissa Grima in Melbourne. You know, we're 15 years old on March 15th, 2024. How about them apples? And Adam, you were the first person ever on this show 15 years ago in 2009.
How did you get a five-year-old on your show?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not kidding anyone. Melissa, you've been with us for over 2 years now. Are you still okay with that?
Love it. Sign me up for another 15, Henry.
Okay, no worries, and we must switch subjects. Now, look, we have a very, what I like to call, colourful politician here in Australia. His name is Barnaby Joyce, Adam Devlin in Brisbane. Can you explain Barnaby Joyce's position in politics and that now infamous video that was taken of him?
Sure. Barnaby Joyce is a member of the National Party, which predominantly is based on people living in the country, in the regions, farmers, agriculturalists, those sort of people. He's your typical Aussie ocker bloke. You know, he drinks a lot, he swears a lot, he's, you know,
have very... sex with people with he's not married to a lot.
Yep, and yeah, absolutely, and we'll get to that in a minute. But he entered Parliament as a member for the National Party, and he worked his way through that up into the National Party leader, which meant that during the last Liberal government, which was led by Tony Abbott, Malcolm Turnbull and Scott Morrison, that he was the Deputy Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during that period, he was noted numerous times as appearing drunk in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And he then had an affair with one of his staffers, Vicky Champion.
Mm-hmm.
She
and we've talked about that. Yeah, we actually broke that story.
We did, yes.
Internationally, anyway. Yes. We shouldn't have, but we did.
She fell pregnant to him whilst he was married to his then current wife. He had a couple of daughters with his ex-wife, and so he ended that relationship and started a new relationship with his ex-staffer, Vicky Champion. They now have two children together themselves.
Mm.
However, he has continued to appear regularly in Parliament as drunk.
Drunk.
Now, the other day, footage broke of him lying on a footpath in his parliamentary suit, on his back, talking on the phone to someone.
He was ranting.
Uttering, ranting profanities. Mm. That I dare not repeat on air.
Mm.
Now, it was clear that he was drunk, and somebody took the video of him and posted it online.
Mm-hmm. And now, Sky News jumped in and grabbed it first, I do believe.
Mm. Yep. Now, the right-wing media in this country went into, you know, crisis control management mode.
I was going to say protection mode, yes.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden, they tried to flick it from, this wasn't a story about a drunk politician lying in the gutter, lying in the footpath in Canberra, late at night talking on his mobile phone. They tried to switch it to how horrible for the person who took this video that they didn't offer help to this person who was desperately in need of help.
Really?
Now, numerous people, including, I believe, the person who took the video, commented and said, well, this was a white ochre bloke who is drunk on his back on the footpath, screaming obscenities down a mobile phone. I'm hardly going to walk up to him and offer him help. He's likely to turn around and, you know, try to punch me in the face.
Yeah.
So, you know, that didn't work. And so a couple of days went by where slow but surely, first of all, the mainstream media didn't want to touch this story at all.
Adam, I just want to explain to our listeners in Europe and North America, we have, and just like most countries in the so-called developed world, we have a largely right-wing media. And I just quickly want to quote Sky News. Barnaby Joyce declares he does not have a drinking problem after planter box falls. I don't know what that means. As he hit out at Teal MP Zali Stegall over RBT proposal in Parliament. The right-wing media is all over the place here in Australia.
Absolutely. And let's not forget that about 80% of Australia's media is owned by Rupert Murdoch. So internationally, that gives you some idea of what our media is like in this country. There were a couple of days where the Liberal and National parties did everything they could to quash this story, to stop it from getting out.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work. And so about 3 or 4 days in, Barnaby came out and made an announcement, and this was his way. I mean, this is laughable. This was his attempt to nullify this story, to quash this story and stop it from going out. This was his attempt to go from being a laughingstock to getting sympathy from people.
Mm.
He came out and he said, I have some undisclosed medical conditions that I'm on medication for that I shouldn't mix with alcohol. They told me I shouldn't mix with alcohol, but I did mix it with alcohol, and this was the result of it.
Poor Barnaby.
I'm sorry. That actually makes the, to me, that makes the situation worse.
Yes, and Adam, tell me what wage are we paying him?
He's done about $260,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone from admitting, he's gone from saying, I am not an alcoholic. I'm not drunk.
Yeah.
Did you hear what else he said?
But what? Turning up to work drunk and on drugs.
Yeah. Melissa, go on.
I'm not an alcoholic. I checked and it's confirmed that I'm not. Who did you check with?
I think he checked with his local bottle shop.
Oh,
yeah, it's not in their interest.
Right? Someone suggested that they have an RBT, like a random breath testing machine in Parliament. I mean, if we're paying you hundreds of thousands of dollars to make decisions for us each year, why should you be allowed to do that under the influence if you can't drive when you're under the influence?
Instead of putting that RBT into Parliament, how about putting some sober politicians into Parliament?
Hmm. Well, we're paying them a lot of money.
Go on.
Oh, I just want to say, how many times have I drunk called someone, right, when I shouldn't have, or had my drunk duty call with the ex under the influence?
Haven't we all? I've had incredibly interesting, colourful conversations with Adam Devlin in the early 90s when we were not just drunk, but on various
substances.
Things.
So everybody
does it.
Vitamins.
That's right.
How are you allowed to go into Parliament and do this under the influence when you're making life-changing decisions for millions of Australians?
Exactly. And he's doing it whilst drunk and under medication. So I'm all for introducing some level of random alcohol and drug testing in Parliament. It happens in many other organisations and industries already.
Of course.
So why not in our Parliament? They're making the laws we have to live under.
We're paying for it.
Yeah. If I turned up to my work drunk, I would be sacked.
Exactly.
If I was out on the street, blind drunk late at night, and I was bringing my organisation that I work for into disrepute, I would be sacked.
Mm.
This is what Barnaby Joyce has done time and time again. And every time, somehow, he gets away with it. So I ask the question, what does Barnaby Joyce have over senior people within the government of this country?
You see, that's an interesting question.
Why is he the one who's allowed to get away with anything and everything? Yeah. Imagine for a moment, just for a minute, imagine if that was, say, the Deputy Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if it was the Treasurer.
Yeah.
Or, even worse than that, imagine if it was any female in Parliament.
Oh, they would get into that, wouldn't they?
Yeah. So the fact that he has the audacity to turn up to Parliament the next day and walk in and expect to be able to do, well, he can't do his job because every indication suggests that he's an alcoholic. So
what's going to happen? Are we just going to do the Australian thing and turn a blind eye?
Well, I hope that this will be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I hope the good people of New England, his electorate, I hope that they look at this latest incident and say, we don't need to vote him in again. We want to support him to get the help that he needs, because clearly this man is struggling with addiction issues.
I'm not sure that he wants help. That's my take.
Well, this is the other thing. You need, like people are saying, we need to offer him help. Well,
he can get his own bloody help.
I've known numerous alcoholics in my life, and the only way that you can help them is once they get to the point
help
where they
themselves.
Say, I'm happy to have help now.
I
want help. So trying to help this man until he says he's ready for help
it's rubbish.
Is a waste of effort. So they need to move him out of Parliament.
Yeah. Melissa, I know that you're not big on politics, but you couldn't have avoided this story. What are your thoughts on this? And, you know, Adam has made it very clear what should happen, Barnaby Joyce. What are your thoughts on this? What would you do if you were in a powerful position? Let's say you were in Parliament. What would you whisper into Barnaby Joyce's ear?
You could whisper anything into that guy's ear and it wouldn't go through to his brain. I mean, that guy, he's like Teflon. Nothing sticks to him. The amount of scandals that he's been involved in, and I don't pay attention. Like, I don't watch the news. So something comes on my Facebook feed or whatever, or because I do work from home from time to time, I like to have the television on in the background. And so I'll hear the news updates. And, you know, I find it really hard to stomach that we sit there and report that an 80-year-old has driven his car over the edge of a road, and we'll give you an update at the 6 o'clock news to tell you how this 180-year-old man's doing. Meanwhile, you know, 6,000 people have just died in Gaza of a bomb attack.
Good point.
I cannot watch the Australian news. Why are we reporting on one 80-year-old? You know, when there's lives of thousands of innocents overseas dying through no fault of their own, right?
Look, I put a post on Facebook about Taylor Swift, actually, which got a lot of reprehensible attention. And my problem was not Taylor Swift, it was actually the media. And the media, and, you know, I happen to know that 200 children died in the Horn of Africa last night and do every night, and that never makes the news. And I
don't even know about that, Henry.
Well, I do. Because I check stuff that is not in MSM, as we call it, mainstream media. As a journalist, I just do.
How are they dying?
Starvation. Starvation. Yeah. Simple. I mean, you know, a third of the world or two-thirds of the world are overweight from eating too much. And I'm talking about the so-called developed world. And the other third or the other two-thirds, I can't really work out which, are starving. You know, and that's a whole other subject. But in terms of Barnaby Joyce making the front headlines all the time, annoys me. But the thing is, I actually, quite secretly, I quite enjoy a bit of humour in politics because the rest is so boring.
Can I just, there's one thing that I want to say that has been mentioned a couple of times on social media, but Barry Humphries, a beloved Australian satirist, Dame Edna Everidge, of course, is his most famous character.
And bigger in Britain than Australia, I just might add.
Yeah, yeah. He had a character called Sir Les Patterson.
Mm.
Barnaby Joyce is turning into Sir Les Patterson. and for our international audience, if you don't know who Barnaby Joyce is, look up, just Google Sir Les Patterson and watch any interview that he's done anywhere in the world. He was interviewed by Wogan, by Parkinson, by Graham Norton. He's been interviewed by Joan Rivers in America. Like, watch Sir Les Patterson. It is Barnaby Joyce.
It is hilarious, too. We got to go. Look, guys, thank you so much. You know, Adam Devlin in Brisbane and Gumby Girl, as I like to call her, Melissa Greimer in Melbourne. Thank you for joining me here on Bondi Tunes International.
Thanks for having me.
Been a great time. Thank you.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
The Rolling Stones, Satisfaction. The song is considered to be one of the all-time great rock songs. In 2004, Rolling Stone magazine placed Satisfaction in the second spot on its list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. So, who would try and improve on this classic recording? Britney Spears.
Britney Spears? Pull the other leg, it's got bells on.
Britney Spears.
You've got to be kidding.
I can't get no satisfaction.
Unfortunately, no.
Satisfaction, baby.
O'Donovan.